You are listening to Talking Impact Investing podcast show, and I'm your host, Matej Suchets. Today's episode is brought to you by the Business Department of Rollins College. In this podcast, you will hear unique insights from the industry leaders and upcoming stars on various topics, from sustainability to social responsibility. Impact-driven entrepreneurs and investors on this show will help you expand your knowledge on modern ESG practices and impact investing. Are you ready? Without further ado, let's dive in the episode. Hi, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Talking Impact Investing. And today I'm joined by Jared Myers, an expert in the fields of hospitality and sustainability. Jared is a founder and CEO of Legacy Vacation Resorts, which is the first multi-state resort hospitality company in the United States. That's a benefit corporation. He's a chairman of Salt Palm Development, the Florida first real estate development benefit corporation, and a co-founder of Florida for Good, which helps Floridian companies to create a positive impact on our society and environment. And I'm very excited he joined us. Jared, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
The first question I'm going to ask you is going to be, what even is a benefit corporation and how a company could get accredited with a B Corp certification?
Good question. And sometimes there's some confusion because you can actually be a benefit corporation and not a certified B Corp. You can be a certified B Corp and not a benefit corporation, or you can be both, which is really what is the goal. And the primary difference between a benefit corporation and a typical corporation is that when you become a benefit corporation, you make a legal commitment to impact. And whereas in a regular corporation, you can achieve a positive impact and that can be your goal, but it's not baked into original documents or articles. Where the certified B Corp comes in is it's an actual third party verification that you're doing what you're saying. So it says that you are actually acting like a benefit corporation. And B Lab, a nonprofit out of Pennsylvania, is behind that verification and really behind the B Corp movement. And in order to become certified, you have to take an assessment called the BIA, the Impact Business Impact Assessment, and you have to score above a certain threshold, which is 8 points, and that's measured across 5 stakeholder groups. I know that was a lot, but if I were to simply put it, it means that you're legitimately using your business as a force for good.
Thank you for that answer. Tell us more about the Legacy Vacation Resorts, and I know that's a benefit corporation as well. How did that start? Was your initial idea, I want to start a benefit corporation, or did that develop through time?
So that developed through time. Legacy Vacation Resorts has been around since about 2010, and it actually acquired resorts from a former company. So a lot of our resorts have been around for a while, and even our employees here in our operations, but we didn't start out with the mindset of being a certified B Corp or a benefit corporation. That really evolved through the concept of my being very determined that our business had to be kind of a net positive contributor, making a net impact on society, and learning that the best way to do that in a credible fashion was through the B Corp process.
Great. Please tell us more about, as a B Corporation, how do you differentiate yourself?
So to many guests that come here, they may or may not see the primary difference. We hope they do. We work towards that. But a lot of the work we do is behind the scenes. You know, so when it comes to the way that we pay our employees, so we have a guaranteed living wage that we pay our employees. And that's 50% higher than, you know, what the current minimum wage is. The minimum wage is going to be going up in a lot of states. We have special programs that make our employees feel more of a sense of belonging here and how we treat them, and more of an appreciation of all the different types of employees, and, you know, with diversity and inclusion programs that we have as an organization. We have a focus on many environmental aspects. So from the start of the fact that 1% of our revenues are used with 1% for the planet, which are for environmental charities. We had that, you know, commitment, and every year we convey those dollars to a variety of charities. We are carbon neutral as an organization. So we reduce as much energy use as possible. We measure that year over year, and we're constantly introducing new ways to lower our energy and water consumption. And we don't yet have the ability to be carbon neutral just through our own operations. So we use carbon offsets to make up the difference. And we use carbon offsets that meet a gold standard. And what that means is we pay a charity based on a calculation that's done on our greenhouse gas emissions to reduce those to zero. And they do that by planting trees, or they do that by removing carbon from the atmosphere, such as methane recapture or energy retrofits in low-income communities. But that's very important to us as a company, so that we feel that we're not making the world worse every time a guest stays here on site. We do a lot of guest education. So we have a whole channel devoted to explaining what a B Corp is and why it's important. We recorded our own video, which has proven quite popular. It's on our website. But we also have some partner videos on there that had the same message from either other B Corps or other just partners in our movement. And everything we do on site is done in a fun way. We know people are on vacation, and there's many ways of presenting a message, and there's not a right or a wrong, but when people are on vacation, we want them to enjoy their vacation, but also realize that that vacation could actually be making the world worse or could be making it better, and how we're committed to making it better. And we just give some examples, through that video. Another interesting thing that we do is our room keys that we give out. Most hotels now have a plastic room key that they give you that gets you into the room. Most of those are thrown out actually throughout the guest stay. Very few of them end up getting recycled. All of our room keys are either a recycled paper or bamboo, so that it's a sustainable key. But we also go one step further, and on the back of the key, we show what the carbon footprint of their stay is. So it's based on an average, but our goal is to use carbon labeling to educate the guests that, hey, this is what a carbon emission looks like. And it's going to take a while for, I think, guests to fully understand that, no different than the nutrition label on, on food that you might buy. But we want to be part of that process. And we go further to show the number of trees that need to be planted to offset that. So we handle that on our part. We pay for that, but it's more of the educational process. So the thought is that if we can educate enough of our guests on why this is important, that they can take those behaviors home with them, that they can maybe start living that way in their personal life, that they can start looking for other responsible businesses. It's not just, hey, we're a great company and come back and stay with us again. We hope you do. But it's, there's other companies that are awesome like this too. And if you go home and you're going to buy shampoo, buy it from a B Corp. If you're going to go home and you're going to buy a bathing suit, buy it from a B Corp. And there, you can actually invest, you can spend your dollars to create the world that you want to see. And there are other great companies that are not B Corps. The primary difference is the B Corp certification is a credibility badge, that there's a trust level there that's automatic. So when, even in my own personal lifestyle, I look for B Corp logos anywhere I can, because I have an automatic trust that that company is doing what it says. Some other examples, we're big community supporters. So we track our volunteer hours very closely. And, we pay for a third-party platform that helps us manage that and helps us encourage our employees to continue to invest more in their volunteering experience. So that goes beyond just simply, checks being written for philanthropic reasons. And maybe a key point to touch on that is, kind of the traditional business model is make as much money as possible and then write a check to charity at the end of the year. The problem with that being that making as much money as possible while disregarding all the consequences that occur without that process, there really is no amount you could write in that check at the end of the year to make up for if you completely disregard everything else. So we instead, I would rather run a full year where we have no money to donate at the end of the year, but we did everything the right way, then have a bunch of money at the end of the year, but we did everything the wrong way. So we incorporate that kind of into our thinking and how we spend dollars. We incorporate that into how we look at our supply chain, and we give vendor preferences. So we do give preferences to B Corps and benefit corporations. We also give preferences to minority-owned and women-owned businesses. And so we try to use our purchasing power to promote the type of world that we, want to see.
The answer was excellent. And I really like the idea of kind of raising the awareness of your guests. So it's not just a one-time thing, but they can spread that education and also lifestyle at the same time to impact our environment. My question to you would be, how do employees perceive that? What's their reaction to your commitment as a company towards environment and society?
So I think the first thing that I've noticed firsthand from when we became a B Corp to now is the trust level has grown. You know, a lot of employees don't trust, you know, their boss or their, you know, their coworkers. And that's just natural out there because there's a lot of misinformation and just kind of understanding, you know, really where is a person coming from? Because we share these values, because we live these values, there's a greater trust amongst our employees. And what that does is I believe it helps them open up and feel more comfortable in their skin and here at work and even look forward to being, you know, part of this atmosphere and environment. So they feel a greater sense of belonging being here. They feel that they're cared for. They care. They feel that we look at them like a human and not like as a just a resource to get the job done. And so, and in promoting that belonging, you know, there's all these statistics that show how much more they put themselves into their work. And so a bit, you know, popular statistic out there is I think 69% of employees are disengaged at work completely. And with B Corps, the engagement is much higher. And so it's not just a matter of paying more or doing more things, but when you actually care for your employees, they're going to put themselves into their job in a different way. They're going to be thinking about their job when they're here and not thinking about going home and doing something else. So for our employees, I believe have embraced it. There's still constant education that we need to be doing. And there's still a lot of improvement that we can be doing as a company that we're working towards. But I know they appreciate who we are as a company now, even much more than a few years ago, where we weren't as, I guess, where we didn't really convey these values in as meaningful ways as we do right now.
Thanks for sharing that, a really great insight. I'd like to shift more towards the Salt Palm Development, which is, again, a real estate development company, also B Corp. And how did that start? And also tell us more, how do you incorporate the entire aspect of sustainability with the real estate development?
So the real estate development, Salt Palm Development, really started as a hobby at first, and then it kind of grew into its own, you know, own business. We enjoyed the West Coast of Florida, and I met a builder over there who was a different type of builder. Most people don't say very good things about their general contractors. They have a bad experience, unfortunately. And I felt he was quite different. And so he and I started out again as a hobby, just kind of, you know, renovating some homes. And that turned into building single family homes. And then eventually that turned into us building townhouses into downtown St. Pete. And I hadn't spent a lot of time in downtown St. Pete before the real estate development. I'd been on the beach side, but not the downtown side. And the first time I went there, what felt unique to me is I grew up in Miami. And so I remember what Miami was kind of as a child. And I saw a lot of similarities with downtown St. Pete. And I was shocked that the prices were actually as inexpensive as they were, because I know how expensive things are in Miami, and how beautiful it is there. It's such a really cool town, great environment. And so I was really drawn to saying, this is somewhere that, you know, I'd like to have some influence. So we first started down that path, and I realized that the business model we were putting in place, while we were building very quality projects and our buyers were happy, it didn't fully embrace all the B Corp elements. And part of that is because I didn't actually know what a B Corp was at the time that we started Salt Palm Development. But I learned very soon afterwards, and I immediately said, it's got to be a B Corp. I got to change this, change anything necessary within the business to make sure we're having this positive impact. And we started out with a thought process. Well, let's just say that 50% of our profits are going to go back to the benefit, essentially the city of St. Pete or the state of Florida. And since making that commitment, it's been almost 100%, you know, that's been going back. And that's probably been one of the biggest things that we've done at Salt Palm Development, is trying to grow the good in that community. And we've done that through launching Florida for Good, as well as many other programs where we're helping businesses with free resources, because we want to amplify this and make it exponential. And we know that, like, as a single business, people often worry. They're like, well, what can I do by myself on my own? It's a fair concern. Well, you can influence others. You know, what does your circle look like? What does your circle of influence look like? And so that's kind of the thought process we had, was if we can take these best practices that we know work in Florida and are still profitable for the business, and we can share those out for free with others, then we can get more and more businesses and kind of going in this direction. So that's been the big focus, I would say, for Salt Palm. You know, on a day-to-day basis, you know, we build townhomes. So we need to make sure we're building those responsibly. Those townhomes are going to, you know, live for over 50 years, you know, 50 to 100 years, or however long it takes before they need to be, you know, converted to something else. So we have to be very mindful of the products that we choose that we put into those homes. You know, again, are we putting something in that is better than what was there before? Because the construction process is a horrible emitter of carbon. So just building things already, you have to say, now, why are we doing that if we're a business that, you know, that believes in doing good? Well, people do need places to live. And so there is, housing is needed, but are we therefore being mindful as to what those, the raw materials are that we're using? And so we are, we definitely can do better. And every time we do the next project, we improve, you know, from the prior project. So the current project we're building right now will have an Energy Star certification. It'll, you know, it'll use a variety of materials that, again, not just minimize carbon emissions, it's better on energy use, better on water use. They'll all be solar ready. And you know, the goal being that it's a responsible building.
Great, thanks. Thanks for all the insights. My next question would be, what are your views on the hospitality industry in regards to sustainability and social impact? And where do you think are the biggest areas for the future?
So I think our industry as a whole has not been very sustainable and responsible. And we do need some massive changes in order to get it there. There's always exceptions to that. There are some companies that do a really good job. But if you look at it on a whole, it's been largely pushed for growth of revenues, GDP growth. But because of, you know, COVID-19 essentially shutting down our industry, and it's going to force us to rebuild, we had that opportunity right now to decide how do we want to rebuild. And we can incorporate all the important principles to ensure we get a better outcome at the end, because everything is really a formula when you kind of think about it. And so if you have a formula that's designed for maximum revenue and profit, then ultimately that's what you're going to achieve. If you have a formula designed for a shared prosperity, you know, where everyone benefits as a result of success in tourism, you'll achieve that too. But so we have to design that formula properly. Now, the good thing is some regions and some companies have that formula. So it's not like we have to say this is a complete guess, but we can actually incorporate what other, you know, what's being done elsewhere. So maybe a good example, because it's news, I think, as of even yesterday. So like New Zealand is reopening their tourism right now because they have no cases of COVID. And they, you know, they had a certain approach in how they went about that. And but they're reopening in a way where they're trying to counter the negative effects that they felt before when tourism was going. And so one good example, they have a bunch of actually pretty funny videos that they've created to counteract over-tourism, because over-tourism is a concern. You can actually have, you know, too many people going to a spot and the locals don't like it, and it damages land and it damages heritage and culture there. So they have videos really trying to promote, hey, come to New Zealand, but go to, you know, a lesser known spot, or do it in a more respectful, responsible way. And then they're also trying to encourage some other elements that would encourage longer term stays. So you don't have as many flights coming in, because really the plane flights themselves are the biggest, you know, carbon emission associated with tourism. There's other elements, but it is the plane flights. Somehow we have to get, you know, it's gonna be fewer plane flights unless we can find a way to have those done at a net zero basis at some point in time. But I think there's a lot of promotion for, you know, travel by road, ideally by electric vehicle that is charged through renewables. You know, I did leave this out at our resort. All of our resorts have EV chargers that are provided to guests, because we want guests to come in through EV charging. If they do, then that's great. Then it can be basically a net zero travel experience, you know, for them in that process. So there is a lot to learn. And I think one of the key components that I have tried to push, because I do have some involvement in some cross-departmental conversations. I'm one of the co-chairs for the East Central Florida Regional Planning Council's resilience committee. And, you know, we're just really talking about that when business occurs, those dollars should be benefiting the local community and should not necessarily be pulled out of the local community. And that really applies to tourism in a large part of the world. Is when a dollar is spent, there's some statistic, I don't think it's accurate here it's not accurate for Central Florida, but it's accurate at least where it was measured, where they were looking at it and they said only about 10% of the dollars, this is through something called the Ripple Score by G Adventures. I think they say 10% of the dollars spent in the local community stay there. Everything else is going into other areas. And so when you think about that, you're coming into this community and using its resources. Is that really a fair proposition? That only 10% of that value stays there. And so on ways that we can rebuild, we need to ensure that it's thought of people first, which ultimately becomes community first. And then the question is, how does tourism serve that community and those people? And if it's not, then they shouldn't have tourism in the first place. I mean, we don't have a right to go to other lands that aren't ours unless the people are welcoming us there. If we can have a social contract with them that says, hey, we will come to your lands, but this is how we're going to improve them and we're going to improve your way of life, then that's an acceptable way of doing tourism. And we can do that and we can get there. And again, some places are doing it. But that really should be at the core of some of the thought of the rebuilding process. It's not just get as many people here as possible because the economy needs it. That is a concern. But there are multiple concerns we have to address at the same time if we want to have resiliency in the future and we don't want things to fall apart again.
Excellent. Thank you for sharing all that. The last thing I'd like to touch is Florida for Good Foundation and the entire process of how you are able to connect different benefit corporations, NGOs, academic institutions, and what's the ultimate end goal that you're trying to achieve?
So Florida for Good has about roughly 150 member business organizations, and then it has partnerships, essentially a coalition of what it has pulled through for the state of Florida to use the best practices and resources from the B Corp community. So we are also considered B Local Florida. We just operate under the name Florida for Good, which is where all B Corps in Florida can kind of collectively act. But we're also the kind of the face for conscious capitalism here in Florida, for 1% for the planet. We partner with the American Sustainable Business Council. We partner with Solar United Neighbors on solar fronts. And so we try to go out to many of the local and even global business for good organizations and help them in the state of Florida and kind of be that face of pulling everyone together, because there's a lot of commonality in what we're trying to achieve, even though we may be going about it in different ways. So we try to use that thought process to connect then all the different sectors of society. So yes, we really do focus on the business sector because we're trying to make business as that force for good, but we then try to partner them with academia. And that's why we have relationships with many of the universities in the state of Florida. And we try to help them with free resources to learn about and teach about what it means to be a conscious capitalist or a B Corp. And that can be as simple as just having, one day in a particular class. It can be a whole course around it, or it can go as far as at University of Florida, we have the Business for Good Lab, where students are paired with aspiring B Corp companies. So the companies come in and they say, I want to become B Corp, we'd like some student help. And there's a whole class where students help those companies through the impact assessment. They help them design written policies that they might not have. They help them incorporate some of these best practices. And we pair that student in that business with a mentor business, which is usually an existing B Corp in Florida, to try to help through that process. And then at the end of the course, they provide a presentation that is to let us know how they're doing. And then we select winners from that. Florida for Good sponsors that. Florida for Good actually pays for one of the companies ultimately to become a B Corp, their first certification that's part of that. And we're working with other universities to either incorporate the same type of course or to work with the University of Florida, because University of Florida accepts students from other universities and provides credit as well, for their time on that. So Florida for Good is really just trying to expand that concept that, hey, business can thrive and do good at the same time, and that they're not separate of each other. And in fact, in today's world, you have to do both. There's a big program in the B Corp movement where it was discussed that in order to be the best in the world, you have to be the best for the world. And so it's that same concept. There's no longer you can just make money and not do anything else. If you're doing that, you're taking advantage. You're exploiting and you're extracting, and we need to be inclusive and regenerative and equitable in how we operate. So Florida for Good is basically the face kind of that movement here in the state of Florida, trying to bring all of the parties together. And it measures success by seeing more businesses act this way. So whether that's through the membership growth that we have, whether that's through the number of B Corps that come through the process, I think right now we have a little over 200 businesses measuring with the impact assessment because we license that impact assessment from B-Lab so that we can try to, so we can see that measurement and we can try to push the community in the right direction. But really we want to see, we'd like to see every business in Florida be a B Corp or be B Corp like in how they operate.
Excellent. Thanks for sharing that. After the episode, I'll leave some links to check out Florida for Good and Legacy Vacation Resorts. And I'd like to acknowledge you for everything that you are doing for the community of Florida through showing people how things could and should be done in order to impact our world for the better future. And thank you for joining Talking Impact Investing.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for staying with us until the very end. You can stay up to date with the upcoming episodes by subscribing. And if you found any useful information, feel free to leave a 5-star review and follow Talking Impact Investing Podcast on social media.